Hey, what's going on? It's Wednesday, November 6th. I'm Jeff. And this is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Week 10, man. How you feeling? I feel pretty good about week 10. 5 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season, so we're going to get you geared up here today with all the latest from around the NFL. And, of course, we can continue to do that over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All the goods. I mean, it's even better with NBA going on. I mean, if you're one of the higher tier subscription members, then you get access to a lot more. But, man, I'm loving NBA. I'm loving, obviously, the NFL. I will eventually be loving PGA when we get to the spring. But yeah, fantastic time. Go check it out. FTNFantasy.com. So I wanted to get into a few things. So obviously we had our trade deadline go down yesterday. So we'll recap the three, I guess I'll say big S because I don't want to call them big trades. One of them's okay. One of them's like, meh. And then the other one is almost non-existent. So we'll get into those. We'll talk about some of the latest news from around the NFL today as well. I'll go in order of least important to most important. The least important trade was obviously Jonathan Mingo to the Dallas Cowboys. Whatever. I honestly don't even understand why they did it. The Cowboys are almost circling the drain. I don't want to completely count them out because they do only have five losses. And in theory, hey, they could run the table. Although I looked at their schedule and I don't see a lot of wins in their future. It is the NFL and you never quite know. But the biggest problem for them, Dak Prescott is not going to play, and I haven't seen any official moves, so the word was he could go to injured reserve. It's always important to read all the words in the blurbs, right? He could go to injured reserve. So if he goes to injured reserve, it'll be Cooper Rush. And I'll be honest, like Cooper Rush, but not terrible, but like, And I actually went through this on my SiriusXM show today, and if you have SiriusXM, hopefully you listen to that show. But Cooper Rush did get the opportunity to start in 2022. He started five games, and to be quite honest with you, like not terrible, not Ben DiNucci, but like not great either. Now, if you have CeeDee Lamb, I would not be worried about Cooper Rush, but anything else, So here were his starts. So he started week 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. He goes 235-1, 215-1, 223-1, 102-none, and 181-1. So the first three starts were decent. The last two starts were not decent. Okay, that's our sampling. And CeeDee Lamb had just, you know, really good outings, especially in those first three. So I'm not worried about him. But Jonathan Mingo, like none of that makes sense. Like if anything, does it mean that Brandon Cooks isn't going to come back at all? Who knows? But don't even worry about that because what do we care about Brandon Cooks at this point? The moral of the story, though, is if Dak goes to, injured reserve, it's a four-game minimum. Well, four-game minimum, let's add this all up, that puts us at week 14 is the earliest time he could return, otherwise known as the last week of the fantasy football season. I've been saying it all along that like I didn't view Dak as like a, oh, you have to keep this dude, and like a lot of people kept him through his bye week. I didn't view him as that type of player, and now definitely not that type of player. I would not use an IR spot on him. I'd rather keep that spot in case I need to use it for other things. I wouldn't do much of anything with Dak Prescott other than drop him at this point. And who knows if he's a factor down the stretch? Who knows if they're circling the drain so bad that they just don't keep him on IR? I mean, none of this makes sense. I don't understand why they even traded for Mingo. Maybe it helps his dynasty stock, but even there, who knows? Like, there is a scenario, and I should say this at least, where we see Trey Lance. Like, there's a scenario. Now, and that scenario, by the way, doesn't include Cooper Rush getting hurt. Now, I don't think it happens immediately, but I at least have to toss that out there. All right, let's go to the next trade. So this trade, of course, being Khalil Herbert to the Cincinnati Bengals. It doesn't move the needle for me. And I know that like a lot of people are trying to make this thing into a thing. And I talked about this on my other podcast, The Rant, yesterday. They're trying to make this into a thing. And you can weave any narrative you want, but the proof is in the pudding. Khalil Herbert didn't do much of anything this season. And he doesn't have Walter Payton and Gale Sayers ahead of him on the Bears depth chart. Like, it's DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson. And he didn't do anything this year. Now, he goes to this spot. And yes, he's going to be the number two because we did hear from Mike Garafolo that Zach Moss is expected to be out through the rest of the season. And that sucks for Moss. But they need something there. And let's be clear about this as well. This is not, oh, well, you know, Chase Brown isn't really that good, so they needed to bring in somebody to compete with him. Like, have we been paying attention? Chase Brown has actually been everything all of us zero RB drafters hoped he was going to be, and maybe even this past week exceeded those expectations. So now we think, oh, well, yeah, of course, they're going to trade a seventh round pick for a guy who basically hasn't played, and probably for a good reason this season, to come in and compete with Chase Brown. I mean, seriously, sometimes I just don't even understand the narratives that people create. Like, I don't know what world, what kind of wormhole, what kind of dark web websites. Are there websites on the dark web? I really have no idea. But what kind of content that person is consuming to get him to that? Now, this doesn't mean that he's not going to be used. In fact, he could even play on Thursday, although it's a quick turnaround. And when you look at their roster, they needed somebody, right? They needed somebody. If they lost Moss, they had Travion Williams, yeah, and then they had Kendall Milton, yeah, you know, undrafted rookie free agent out of Georgia. So they needed somebody. And there were two somebodies available, basically, for this type of thing. There was Khalil Herbert, and there was Miles Sanders. Maybe he had to pay for more for Miles Sanders. I don't even know if they kicked the tires on him. Who knows? But they didn't pay anything. I mean, all of it points to he's the backup. And let's be clear about this. Chase Brown is not good enough right now for fantasy to cuff. Yes, he had a great game last week. Oh, I know. But let's look at the overall body of work. He's more of an RB2, and that's fine. Like, and if you have him, that is not a knock on him, because him being an RB2 has already outkicked his coverage in terms of where he was drafted. You got an ROI. But people creating narratives, when a narrative doesn't need to be created, that can be a problem. You know, always be vigilant when you're reading people's takes. Like, is it just some dude who's out there on social media who's trying to get clicks, trying to bang the table with their narrative? Because I'll be bluntly honest with you. Like, I don't give a crap if you click on any of my stuff. I really don't. I don't at all. Like, of course, I want my business to be successful. I would like to keep my job, but I don't care if people click on my stuff. I care if my analysis is good analysis. That's all I care about. And that's my motivation here. It's not to rain on people's parades. Like, I saw this trade. I thought, okay, that's a good depth move for a team that could potentially make a playoff push and they need depth at running back, but there's nothing else there. And I don't understand why people want to make it much bigger than what it is. I didn't have Khalil Herbert in the waiver tool over at FTNFantasy.com yesterday, and that was by design. I don't think he's worth a roster spot right now outside of like your super deep leagues, like super deep league people, like your 16-team league. There's so many players that are rostered. All right, I get that. But if you're in a regular 12-team league, 192 players are rostered, Khalil Herbert shouldn't be one of those 192. The last one, and this one actually does have some significance here, was Mike Williams going to the Steelers. Okay. We knew they needed some help. They weren't going to trade back for Deontay Johnson, obviously. And he was kind of the last available guy. Like, we knew the Jets wanted to move on from him once they brought Adams in. And for the Jets purposes, like, Adams and Wilson, they're both top 10 options in my rankings for this week. That's it. And then you'll have a little bit of Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard better for Rodgers than anything for fantasy, right? Like, he'll help Rodgers out. He won't help us out for fantasy because those two dudes are going to take most of the targets. So he is expendable. And honestly, good on the Jets for getting rid of him, and good on the Steelers for getting him. Because what you did here is you addressed a huge, massive, gaping hole in your depth chart, a huge need. You had Pickens and what? And really what? Like, you had Van Jefferson, great. He's an Arthur Smith favorite. You had Calvin Austin, fun, but like what? You had nothing on this depth chart. Like, actually perilously thin for a team that was going to, and you have Scotty Miller, by the way, is also on the depth chart. Like, you had nothing other than Pickens. And then even if I look to their practice squad, let me see. They have Quez Watkins. I forgot he was there. Brandon Johnson, he's been around forever. And Lance McCutcheon. Like, really nothing. None of those guys are going to step in. And Roman Wilson on injured reserve. Ben Skowronek on injured reserve. Like, nothing. So, what do you get in Williams? Well, you're getting a later career guy who never seemed to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers. All right, fine. But let's see what happens from here going forward. Because in theory, you add the other perimeter guy. Van Jefferson can man the slot for you. You know, you're going to move these guys around the formation. That's fine. But yeah, Pickens primarily and Williams bookending your wide receiver group. That's fine. You have a quarterback who likes to throw the ball to the end zone. And I'm not just saying this to say it. I'm not saying I casually think this. I know this. Russell Wilson has always had eyes for the end zone back to his days in Seattle. And believe it or not, and I will always be an apologist for his time in Denver, in his time with Denver. But here's the proof. Justin Fields played in 6 games this season. In those 6 games, he had 5 end zone throws. 5. In 6 games, also known as, yikes, not good. That's Daniel Jones territory. That is not good. Very bad. I want 2 end zone throws per game. Doesn't have to be 2 in every single game, but I want an average of 2 per game. And that is really where we need to be. Well, Russell Wilson has started 2 games, as you might be aware. In those 2 games, he has 9 end zone throws. Not only 2 per game, almost 5 per game. We are now elite territory with that. Now, just because you throw to the end zone doesn't mean you're going to convert those for touchdowns, but the easiest way to throw a touchdown, the highest conversion rate that you have, is by throwing to the end zone. He now has another player to throw to the end zone. So actually, I think Russell Wilson is probably the biggest winner here, not Mike Williams, although Mike Williams is a winner. Mike Williams goes from not worth a roster spot to now worth a roster spot, very much worth a roster spot. I don't think he's going to be much better than a wide receiver 4, but would it surprise me at all if he had a couple decent weeks down the stretch for fantasy purposes? Hell no. Of course it. That's very viable. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. So did I run out to pick him up last night? Not necessarily. If you did, it's not the worst idea. Like, you know, we have a guy who can play above the rim, make contested catches, maybe not as good of a downfield guy as he was before his injuries, getting up there in age, but they don't need him to be that. They have George Pickens to do all that stuff. They just need him to be a red area factor. And I think he's going to do that. So I actually like this spot for Mike Williams. Really like it for Russell Wilson. He's very much in the streamer conversation. So this week in particular, you know, just look into this week. How do things line up for Russ? Coming back from bye, and the matchup this week for the Steelers is Washington, which is favorable. I don't know how well integrated Marshawn Lattimore is going to be for Washington, and I don't even think he upgrades him that much. He's an upgrade, but not by that much. So I have Russ at 19. I don't think Williams is going to be fully, like, we've seen this already. These guys will go out, they'll play 15 snaps or so. So I would expect that. But Russ, super flex wise, totally fine. I don't know if we're quite there yet in terms of using him in one quarterback, but we could ultimately get there. Wouldn't surprise me if we got there. So that is good. Not using Mike Williams. Definitely using George Pickens. Have him squarely in the front end of the wide receiver 2 conversation at 15 in my initial rankings. Of course, the rankings evolve over the course of the week over at ftnfantasy.com. So what I say today may not be the case when we get to Thursday night, tomorrow night, or when we get to Sunday especially, but just an initial look there. All right, let me rip through some of the latest injury stuff. So Amari Cooper was limited today. He's being called day-to-day, so hopefully he can get back out there this week. If he gets out there, then obviously that'll change our approach on Khalil Shakir. I tentatively have Khalil Shakir at 24. I did not rank Amari Cooper in the initial rankings, so Shakir would obviously go down. The weird thing is, like, with Cooper, he didn't play last week, but he did have another week of the playbook and all of that. So it's kind of weird to gauge it, but I am bullish for him down the stretch. Dallas Goedert did get back in practice for the Eagles. AJ Brown practiced for the Eagles as well. So the Eagles could be closer to full strength against Dallas this week. Really like the Eagles defense this week against the Cowboys. Currently have Philly as my number six defense, but really anybody in the top 12 is very playable for me. So really liking that. Hey man, good news with AJ Brown. Great news if they get Goddard out there. Like, and Calcaterra was not bad, by the way. Like, actually did a nice job. So that's really good for the Philadelphia Eagles that they have depth to sustain any sorts of injuries like that. That is good. But we'll keep an eye on those guys. Nico Collins. Getting a lot of questions about Nico. He did not practice today. That doesn't mean he's toast for the week, but it isn't a good start. It isn't a good start. So we have to see what happens through the week. He is still technically on IR. He has to be designated to return before you get official practices. So the window is not open yet. Could he be designated tomorrow and then play? Yes, but now we're looking less likely. So just make sure you have that plan in place. And that also applies to CJ Stroud. Getting a lot of CJ Stroud questions like, oh, Stroud's on waivers. What would you do? You know, that's what I would do. Like, do I have somebody else? Like, I'm not rostering two quarterbacks in a one quarterback league unless it's like Jordan Love. You know, like I have Jordan Love on bye. Okay, I'm going to keep Jordan Love. And then I'll go out and get somebody this week. But, you know, right now, let me just give you a quick peek at the quarterback rankings. So I'm not sure anybody is going to be viable in the top 10 on your waiver wire because, you know, all right, so here's the top 10 really quickly. Lamar, Allen, Hurts, Daniels, Purdy. Purdy might be out there. Give a quick peek at Purdy. I love this spot for Purdy. Mahomes, Darnold, Burrow, Kyler, Baker. But you may have Stafford at 11 available. I have Stroud at 12. He will move down if Collins doesn't play. I have Tua at 13. Like Tua could be available. Stafford could be available. Maybe Purdy's available. Like those are likely. Well, those will all be better options if Nico Collins doesn't play. So if I'm playing the streamer game, I'm going in a bunch of different directions right now. Adam Thielen doesn't look like he's going to play this week. He's not practicing with the hamstring. Like he's getting close to potentially going to season ending, like which would totally suck, obviously. CeeDee Lamb limited today. He could play through this injury, so that actually is better news than we had expected. Trevor Lawrence limited with a shoulder issue. And to make matters a little bit more complicated, the Jaguars signed CJ Beathard from the Dolphins practice squad. Remember, you can poach players from other practice squads, provided they are not protected, and you have to sign them to your active roster. Beathard has experience on this roster, so it makes some sense, but I don't know. I mean, Mac Jones would be the starter if Lawrence can't go. The fact that he got limited, though, it's really weird. It's a weird situation, so just pay attention to that one if you have Trevor Lawrence. I don't think there's anything else major here. So we're just keeping our eye on Thursday Night Football. Isaiah likely could end up not going, that is. And if he doesn't go, Mark Andrews will be a top 12. It does not look like T. Higgins is going to play. That could change today. I've not seen a practice report today, but he didn't practice yesterday. So if he doesn't go, then we could have another week of decent Mike Gesicki production. I'm very cautious about Mike Gesicki for obvious reasons. If you played fantasy football for a few years, you probably know why I'm cautious there, but it is wise to just, you know, keep Gesicki at arm's length. But if Higgins doesn't go, there is opportunity. And let's be clear, this should be a barn burner tomorrow night. It should be a barn burner. I'm looking at the numbers right now. Over under is 52.5. It should be a barn burner. All right. If you want all the rankings, remember ftnfantasy.com. Also, don't forget to follow along with my other podcast, The Rant. I do that 4 days a week. I do this show 1 day a week, but we also have this show on Sunday night / early Monday morning, whenever you get to it. Mike Randall does a great quick recap of the biggest storylines that go down each Sunday. So it is, it's a nice way to start the week. All right. Other than that, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And on socials, I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Follow along with me. All right. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.